starting a business is really like getting married. So you need to build that deep trust in each other and understanding. And that co-founder relationship is just one of the most important parts of any startup. When you're in the trenches building something, it kind of brings out everyone's true colors. And so fortunately for us, working together for years, we developed a great trust in each other. We learned our own individual preferences and working styles and how to help elevate and push each other.
Hey there, I'm Zach Deshane with the WTL Group at UBS Financial Services, and welcome to The Trenches. The world is chock full of how I got rich narratives that in hindsight, well, they always sound perfect. Our goal on this show is to provide you with stories applicable to your own situation from people who have gotten over the hump in building something great. We're talking with entrepreneurs and founders to focus in on that specific moment where they knew they had created something special, and we're bringing those moments straight to you. On with me today is Jeff Cole. Jeff is a co-founder and CEO of Pearly. Pearly is a turnkey platform that allows dentists to offer in-house membership plans directly to their patients. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Zach.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Actually, before we get into Pearly, let's discuss Path a little bit. That was your last company, acquired in 2018. Tell me a bit about Path, not to bury the lead on Pearly, but we'll get there in due time.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So my co-founder and I started Path in mid-2015, and it's a HIPAA secure messaging platform that allows healthcare organizations, and then we moved into other verticals to communicate via website chat and text messaging with their prospective patients. So why we were a little different is we built kind of a chatbot platform, also called a virtual assistant or AI messaging. And it automatically qualified leads or candidates and then passed the conversation off to the appropriate person or department. So, for example, one of our early large customers was a 500 location skilled nursing group. And so they used our chat software on their website. Our bots would help qualify the prospects, and then we'd route the conversations to the right regional call center, and then a care manager would follow up using our software. So really what we were trying to do and did was just bring some of that kind of ease and modern communication that people are used to on any e-commerce site to healthcare, where typically the software and communication is really lagged behind other industries.
So chat box, so say I go on, you mentioned in the use of sales, though, it's not like, hey, I have a problem with my thingamajig, I need some support. Yours is more incoming sales revenue generation than automating sort of back office?
Yeah, exactly. And we certainly had different use cases, but our primary were different skilled nursing chains, in-home care franchises, mostly multi-location healthcare, where you'd have someone coming in looking for in-home care aides for their mom. And our bot would help qualify, understand what their care needs were, where the location is, and then routing that conversation, that lead or that appointment to the relevant office or location that makes sense. We also found out actually that we used it a lot for job candidates. We're in kind of a tough place where healthcare aides and certified nursing assistants, it's really competitive and it's really hard to find quality care workers who really do an amazing job. So a lot of these organizations are always recruiting. And so they would use our software to help recruit some of those candidates, qualify based on their credentials, and then you put it into their applicant tracking system.
Well, a lot of different use cases there. I guess that's sort of the power of AI, right? You start down one path and then many different ones can open up.
Yeah, exactly. And what we ended up doing is having kind of our primary use case, and then different people would say, hey, you know, I have this other business. So we did start expanding to other verticals. And when we were acquired by a company based in Phoenix, their primary vertical is actually automotive. So we kind of expanded the software into different verticals, but really our kind of core and really where we started is in that healthcare space and making sure that everything's HIPAA compliant, since that is a very difficult, it's basically a reason why there's a lot of more consumer softwares or in e-commerce that frankly are a lot better and a lot more consumer friendly because of the HIPAA and data security requirements in healthcare.
An interesting pivot there. You did all the work on the HIPAA and then they end up using it to sell cars.
Yeah. We still have all of our healthcare customers, but it's fun seeing where you build something with one use case and then other people take an interest in it and expand it. And when we started, never would have thought that, but it was a great experience.
Oh, great. Let's talk about Jeff Cole, the founder, and your journey a bit with InPath. We went to school together in economics tracks in Princeton. As far as I know, you're not really a tech guy by training, yet here you are starting an AI company. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong there. Maybe you picked it up along the way, but any specific challenges that came up as somebody without like a master's in computer science running an AI company?
Yeah, great question. I mean, for me, it was always been entrepreneurial. I started my first company when I was like 14, ran a moving business in high school. And so really always liked that. Was always interested in technology, but certainly have no former training on it. I wouldn't say before starting the company really understood and was really well versed in software. Fortunately, my co-founder is an amazing engineer and was our CTO. And so through that process and now having, you know, done it kind of the past 5 or 6 years, I've obviously picked up a lot along the way. My primary focus is really on the product and the business strategy, you know, kind of sales and marketing. And then I collaborate really closely with my co-founder on all kind of, you know, think of different ideas and features and do the mock-ups, and he actually makes it happen. And that's something that I certainly cannot do.
Well, I guess if you don't have it yourself, you know, find somebody who has the expertise and build your team around each person's strengths. So definitely makes sense. Path, you said, acquired in 2018. I think you just said 4 or 5 years of journey there. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Along the way, after you got started, when did you know that you guys had something special?
It's a good question. I think for us, there's so many, you know, entrepreneurship and starting businesses is not glamorous. It's a lot of late nights by yourself in front of the computer, trying to convince early customers that you really have something. And so I think for me, you know, it may have been, I don't know, between 6 months and a year in, we looked at our data and we had processed about 100,000 conversations. You're so heads down. And I started reviewing them, reading these kind of stories and conversations between families who are looking for care and the care managers that are customers, having these good conversations, helping solve problems. And you're so heads down on all the different pieces of it. And this was sort of the first opportunity that I looked up and said, wow, there's really a lot of people who are communicating through our software. And there's a lot of these amazing healthcare organizations who are connecting with these families during difficult times. For example, their parents are aging and connecting and finding care. So I found myself going down the rabbit hole of reading a lot of these and how people were using our product, and looked up at the team and said, this is great. This is the preferred form of communication that people are using versus sending in website forms and never getting a call back, or they're able to get kind of the help they need immediately. And that for us, I think, was a moment where we said, okay, you know, this is really working. How do we kind of continue to grow and spread this to other organizations?
It's interesting. In my line of work, some of what we do is working with older clients. And when it's time to have sort of the nursing home or in-home care discussion, there's just so many questions. So financial, non-financial, logistical, who can I trust? What do I need? What form does that take? It's really interesting for me to hear that when you got over the hump with Path, it's not, oh, we had X number of sales. It was, hey, we're really doing well by doing good here. And by the way, it looks like we happen to be making some money at some point off of this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's hard to, at least for me, really run, and you're putting everything you can into a business. And if there's not some of that personal fulfillment, I think for me, it's cool solving these sort of friction gaps and helping, you know, multiple stakeholders. For some people, it's solving really interesting technical problems. For me, while admittedly, most of the time you're just focused on the business and growing it and all those metrics, it's always good to kind of step back and really see, you know, hey, are we really adding value and ideally doing some good along the way?
Great to hear. So can we talk a little bit about the sale and sale process? You mentioned you had started a couple other companies before. The moving company, I assume, was not acquired. I think it's sort of wrapped up.
No, none of those. I wouldn't say any of those. This was my first real business. All those were me trying to get lunch money by moving people to storage and different things. But that kind of started the entrepreneurial bug.
For the viewers, because most of you probably haven't seen Jeff, he's a pretty big guy. So moving was probably right in his sweet spot in high school, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Play to your strengths.
Exactly.
So can you talk a little bit about the sale process to whatever detail you would care to share? Any thoughts on selling your first business? To some people, it's their baby, it's their whole world. and selling it is emotionally difficult as well as the process being burdensome. Can you walk me through what was going through your head throughout that process?
It was interesting. The company that ended up acquiring us, when we were started talking to them originally and thought they were going to be a potential reseller or partner. So it wasn't really like we were looking to be acquired or out there, and through the conversation met some great folks there. And as the conversation progressed and became clear that they were really evaluating the space and looking for an acquisition, it was definitely, it's, I guess, surprising. And it's something that at least at the time we hadn't really been thinking about. And kind of after lots of conversations with the team, our advisors, our investors, realized that it was a good opportunity, you know, one, just for us having kind of gone through the full process, but really this company was interested in taking kind of what we had. It was a good fit in terms of some of their other products that they were interested in selling to our customer base. In addition, taking our technology and selling it to their customer base. So we were a small company and coming into it where they had a much larger sales team. It was a great kind of learning opportunity for me to move into a role. I was the vice president of product there, and so got to manage a bunch of great product managers and sort of learn how that process happens. So it's certainly something, looking back on it, it was the right decision. It was a good decision. There's obviously a bunch of things you'd always want to do differently and change, but all in all, it was a good decision. But certainly it's not an easy one. And it's something that it's definitely, you know, there's always pros and cons. And so kind of having to weigh through those, and there is a little bit of that losing your baby and seeing it kind of grow and you not being the ultimate decision maker. But all that process, I think, is important. And frankly, I got to learn and develop a lot through it.
Yeah, you said just now a couple things you would have done differently, not necessarily in the sales process, but from start to finish at PATH. What lessons did you pick up, or what jumps out at you as, man, I wish this would have gone a little different than the way it went down?
Well, my co-founder, we talk about this all the time. There's so many things you learn. Again, this was my PATH was my first business, kind of start to finish. You do take a lot of chances, do a ton of things wrong, look back, and always are learning. And now with Pearly and with our new business, there's so many learnings that I'm taking into it. And I'm sure in 20 years, I'll look back and say, wow, I can't believe I made some of those decisions. So what stands out to me specifically, I think first is really the people management. My co-founder was a friend of mine from college, but starting a business is really, it's really like getting married. And so you need to build that deep trust in each other and understanding. And that co-founder relationship is just one of the most important parts of any startup. When you're in the trenches building something, it brings out everyone's true colors. And so fortunately, you know, for us working together for years, we developed a great trust in each other. We learned our own individual preferences and working styles and how to help elevate and push each other. And now we're back together doing the second one. So fortunately, that was a big learning, and just how we interact and all the kind of the shorthand and the being on the same page instantly. I think that just comes from time and grinding it out. The second is really kind of a better understanding of what's important and what's not. When you're in a startup, new environment, you have limited resources and you want to accomplish a lot. We kind of came up with this term, ruthless prioritization. How do you really develop that better friend framework for identifying what are those specific tasks and actions to really focus on? And really trying to, we eventually, kind of near 2 years ago, came up with this, it's not a new concept, but we call it outcome first. We're really trying to define that desired outcome that we want before each meeting, initiative, or feature, because we realize that you may go into, hey, let's develop this new feature, or we have this new sales strategy or new marketing technique, but not everyone's necessarily on the same page. And so you could be debating or arguing, but you're not really crystal clear on what the objective is. So for example, early days, my co-founder may be arguing over something stupid like how much box shadow to put on a button, but realize that's not going to move the business forward. So taking a step back and really setting what's the desired outcome. And maybe it's, hey, we want to make it easier for our users to navigate to this specific page or feature. Okay, great. Starting there, let's back in and discuss different ways that we can achieve that. So that was a big learning, is, and we do it today, is instead of just kind of having meetings saying, let's discuss or let's talk about, really being intentional about, this is after this meeting or after this new initiative, here are the specific things and really that desired outcome that we're driving towards. And that really just helps prioritize things, because there's so much stuff that you want to do and you can't. So you have to be really thoughtful about how you prioritize and trying to maximize everyone on the team. And I think communication is so hard, at least for me. And so really working to develop that skill set and how you can have small teams be aligned to achieve those very definite set goals.
Looking through all the noise, finding the signals, and then saying, look, this is what we got to hit. How do we get there? Not getting waylaid.
Exactly. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to try things and realize that it doesn't make sense. But I think it's trying to have that framework of saying, okay, this is what we're trying to achieve. Here's what success looks like. And here's some, you know, risk factors or things along the way. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. You go back, you iterate, you try again. But doing that within more of a framework versus just shooting from the hip and seeing what happens.
Yeah, it makes sense. The term ruthless, it really, you got to put the screws to it and it's do or die. I imagine that a lot of people in similar situations to you could take some notes there in terms of just intentionality of process and clarity of purpose. I want to move on a bit to Pearly, because that's where you're at now. First, I got to know, and I think most importantly, the website says 1,546 tacos eaten. And it's my impression that this is a pretty new company. So how many tacos is that a day per employee? How do you make that happen?
Well, we have an amazing taco place called Super Cucas right near us. So I probably eat tacos 3 to 4 days a week, probably not to the happiness of my doctor. So we love Santa Barbara is where we're based, California. We have great Mexican food and we love tacos. And it's a good cheap meal.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. out on the East Coast, we don't have as good of a taco situation, but every trip to California, that's always the go-to is get the real, I don't know if you call it real Mexican from California, but real California Mexican, I guess.
Exactly.
You started and sold Path. You guys then went, started another company. You talked a bit about how the founder's journey is often lonely, late nights in front of the computer. Let's get something built. To be honest, not the most attractive of situations that you can come up with when you put it that way. So first off, tell me a bit about what Pearly does. And then second, why did you decide to start another company? You guys just sold Path. You had a good thing going. Why put yourself through this again?
Well, I'll take the second question first. I think that for me, anything that's difficult, I think is rewarding. And so for us, a lot of it was going through the process, learning a lot and saying, you know, man, I did learn a lot from this process and I love building things. I realize that for me, it's really the building and the growing is what's exciting to me versus managing. So I think we really wanted to take those learnings, take that passion, go back and hit the ground running and do it again. So Pearly's very new. And like you said, it's a platform that basically empowers dentists to offer membership plans to their patients. So how it really started is dental insurance, first of all, it's totally broken for patients and dental practices. And if you look over the last couple decades, dentist actual earnings have remained flat. And that's because insurance reimbursement rates have continued to decline. And so in a way, it's basically transferring the profits from the dental practice and the dentist who's delivering great care to the insurance companies. And so, for example, this year, 2019, reimbursement rates for these solo practitioners fell 8.7% on average. And then in addition, practices spend a ton of time dealing with and processing insurance claims. And then for patients, dental insurance isn't really like normal healthcare. It's really complicated. It's expensive. There's a lot of confusion of what's covered and what's not.
And to be clear, that's not like normal healthcare?
Well, dental care, there's some things that are cosmetic, some things that are medical. And so dental plans and dental insurance varies a lot. Different practices don't take different insurance. So if you change jobs, maybe you're not able to go to your dentist. And healthcare, there's a lot of different specialties that you need to go to. And, you know, maybe you need to go to the hospital, your primary care physician. But most people generally go and get preventative care from the same dentist for a really long time. That being said, about 1 in 3 Americans don't have dental insurance. And specific groups like retiring baby boomers who are losing their employer-sponsored benefits, as well as, let's say, millennials in the gig economy, don't have those. And so what an in-house membership plan is, they've been around for a long time, but they really eliminate that insurance middleman. And it's, you can think about it a little bit like Amazon Prime, but for dental practices. So dentists create their own membership plan. It includes preventative care and other benefits. The dentist will set their own fees and included procedures. And for the uninsured patients, they're able to subscribe to this plan and receive affordable, comprehensive, and easy coverage. So like I said, they've been around for a while, but dentists typically will print out a brochure and say, hey, we have a program. Maybe my members will send me a check. So we looked at it and wanted to create software to automate this process because we believe, given the factors of declining reimbursement, consumers wanting a more streamlined experience, and ultimately reducing that friction, and for folks that don't have any dental benefits, it's a great way to save money. So where we're at in building our platform is the practice can set up their custom care plans, including, let's say, professional cleanings, kids plans, adults plans, perio plans, allow patients to purchase the plans in the office or online, you know, in 90 seconds. And we handle all the billing, the processing, and give them a dashboard to track performance while the patient can have benefits. So at the end of the day, kind of similar to with PATH, it's trying to be a tool and you know, a service to reduce friction. So, you know, the dentist then gets a recurring revenue stream, has increased loyalty from their uninsured patients because of that membership effect. And the patient ultimately saves money and feels comfortable going into the dentist for their regular treatments, hopefully, and will result in better health. So it's really trying to facilitate that win-win and take away some of the friction with having paper plans or not promoting the plan correctly, and really empowering dentists to offer this direct relationship.
Oh, fascinating. And what we see in the space today, we do a fair amount of work with medical professionals, is this concept of rolling up practices. And what's top of mind is what's recurring revenue for rolling up these practices by, say, a private equity company looking to go purchase dental offices. I have to imagine that the increased percentages or increased weight of recurring revenue, maybe another feather in the cap for a practice that's on Pearly, that if they're looking to sell, could help boost a sale price. Have you encountered anybody having that conversation yet?
Yeah, it's definitely a big factor. I mean, increasing practice value is so important, and recurring revenue is one of the ways. Increasing your net revenue per patient is one of the ways. You know, you want your patients to be coming into the office more often. And so what we see is by offering membership plans, your patients come in more often, you receive that recurring revenue stream, and they're loyal to your practice. So all of that, at the end of the day, helps increase that practice value if and when an office decides to sell.
All about driving value.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the company day one, if you can think way back to day one.
It's early.
Right. So walk me through, and maybe it's a metaphoric day one, right? Maybe you're still in what you would call that. But what did you look like at the start, and where do you want to take this?
Again, I was really lucky to have this relationship with my co-founder. So we wanted to do it again together. So there's a lot of that inherent trust built in. And also teamed up with two really great advisors who are really involved in the business. They have a combined 60 years of experience in the dental industry, Fred Joyle and Gary St. Denis. They actually founded a company called 1-800-DENTIST 30 years ago, which was one of the first companies kind of pioneering lead generation and matching patients to dentists. And I think they've matched like 10 million of them. So Fred's written two books on dental practice growth and marketing. So we really thought that first part was really, what's the team? How are we really going to attack this to deliver value? So for me, really getting to drive the strategy and the business and the product, Sean, our CTO, really focused on making a great product and building it and making sure we're really using cutting edge and intuitive technology. And then Fred and Gary really guiding us with their industry expertise and making sure that we're really actually adding value and actually helping practices transform. So that was really the first thing, was the team and the people, because at the end of the day, that's the most important.
I'm sort of sensing a theme here.
Yeah,
economics is also not dentistry, so let's go find some dentists to help us out.
Exactly. And then what we did very different on actual day one that we sat down is starting with the mission and values. That's something that we didn't do at PATH, but we realized that that's really important. So we really spent first 1 or 2 days setting that mission. And our mission is to empower dental practices to serve the oral care needs of uninsured patients, and then digging into the values. For us, it's outcome first, as I mentioned earlier, candid communication, continuous learning, and a bias for action. And then kind of had a kickoff meeting where we really said, this is what we're trying to achieve. Here are the values and how we're going to connect. And then, of course, you know, setting up those specific milestones that we want to achieve in the first year and beyond, including get the initial prototype up, first paying customer, you know, having the first 100 practices. So really trying to be again, intentional about that and making sure that the team's all on board, and then ultimately putting the head down and starting. And how we're looking at growing and building this business is knowing that there's going to be ups and downs and it's going to be always a challenge, but we're really excited, you know, thus far with the progress and the reaction we've gotten. And so as we look kind of going forward, it's really one, bringing on dental practices who want to be partners, who want to use this, who want to deliver membership plans directly to their patients, and then ultimately growing the number of uninsured patients who are now members with their favorite dentist.
It seems like, again, you're very goal-oriented and process-driven here. When I asked you at PATH when you thought that was special, it was sort of, I don't want to call it hand-wavy, but it was more sentiment than numbers-driven. As you're benchmarking yourself against Pearly, it doesn't seem like the sentiment factors are something that you can call out ahead of time. But at what point, maybe it is hitting these various sales metrics, but when do you think you'll have something special at Pearly? How will you know?
That's a tough question looking forward. I think that there's nearly 100 million Americans without dental insurance and without benefits. So very unlikely that we're going to be able to help everyone, but trying to look at how many can we hit 1,000 dental practices and 100,000 members. Some of those metrics are really looking forward. I think for us, while we kind of look at a lot of long-term goals and vision, that's really focused on more of the immediate milestones. So we're kind of still in head down, accomplish what we need to accomplish each month. So I'm sure if I talk to you in a couple years, I'll have a better answer for that.
Hey, we'll have to have you back on in a few years then. I think that's a great place to end this here. If anybody wants to find out more about Pearly, where can they find you guys?
Yeah, just head to our website, pearlyplan.com. You can read all about what we're doing, take a demo of the software, and you can always reach out and ask me any questions.
Sounds great. Again, that's Jeff Cole. Jeff's the co-founder and CEO of Pearly. Jeff, thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Zach.
Hey, it's Zach again. Thanks for joining us here today. At the WTL Group, we work with entrepreneurs and successful families to help them achieve their financial goals and define their legacies. This sounds like you or someone you know, message me on LinkedIn or shoot us an email at wtlgroup@ubs.com. This episode was part of a multi-episode opening drive. You can find the other episodes on Spotify or they're up on our website, www.ubs.com/team/WTL Group. We also have bios and a couple pictures up there of the team so you get to know us a little better. If you like what you heard on the show, feel free to email us and let us know. And if you didn't, well, hey, we're always looking to improve. So we'd like to hear your thoughts anyway. Hit me up again on LinkedIn or shoot us an email. Thanks for listening today. Have a great one.